Sports.com Sideline Report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The Sideline Report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton, the WPKY studios. As always, thanks for tuning in on this Thursday morning. We've got a big show lined up today. First of all, we'll be talking with Dave Winder from Murray State University. We'll get an update on all things racer athletics. The Murray State men's basketball team was in Chicago last night, but dropped a double overtime decision there. We'll talk to Dave about that and lots of other things when we get him on the phone line this morning. A little bit later on today, Justin Grooms will join us. He's a Caldwell County Football Hall of Famer, a member of the 1998 state championship team at Caldwell County, and he'll be joining us this morning here on the Sideline Report as well. So lots going on this morning here on the show. Next up for Caldwell County basketball is Friday, a home doubleheader. It's a 7th district date with Hopkins County Central, and of course we'll have both games for you right here on WPKY as the Lady Tigers and Tigers get back to action this week. The Tigers making the 2nd region All-A Classic championship game this week over in Dawson Springs, but falling to Lyon County in the championship game of that Tuesday night over at Panther Gym. We've got lots of coverage from the 2nd region All-A Classic, both the boys and girls tournaments. That's over at yoursportsedge.com. Stay with us. We'll continue on the Sideline Report right after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
If you're involved in an auto accident, it's your choice where your vehicle is repaired. Some insurance companies refer you to pro shops because they give the insurance company discounts. But with those discounts, the insurance company has input on the parts used and might not always use what is best. At Trice Used Body Shop, they're not partnered with an insurance company, but they give the same lifetime limited warranty to the person who owns the vehicle at the time of repairs. Visit Trice Used in Princeton for your vehicle repairs.
At Goodwin Insurance, they select their insurance companies the same way you do, very carefully. When you work with the agents at Goodwin Insurance, you can count on receiving fast, courteous professional service with quality protection. You deserve someone that provides comprehensive coverage and is working alongside you in your community. Contact them today for a quote.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
High school juniors and seniors, are you ready to take control of your financial future? First Southern National Bank is excited to highlight the Give, Save, and Spend course offered through Asbury University. This hands-on course teaches practical money management skills, including how to give generously, save regularly, and spend wisely. It's the perfect way to prepare for life ahead. Registration is now open on the Asbury University website. Don't miss this opportunity to build financial confidence that lasts a lifetime.
Winter blues got you down? Well, smile and treat yourself. Today, you can get what'll cheer you up at the Big Deal Store with an extra 20% off. That's up to 80% off retail today. Click Big Deals at WPKYonline.com.
Have you seen it? At WPKY, you asked and we listened. Our website now has upgraded features, making it easy to find what you need when you need it. Your local news edge with names you know.
I'm Tammy Hetcock.
I'm Edward Marlowe reporting for your news edge.
And voices you trust.
With your WPKY news edge, I'm Alan Watts.
Covering the people, schools, businesses, and communities that matter to you.
For your WPKY news edge, this is George Kilgore.
Late-breaking weather, local forecasts, and photos.
I'm Josh McClausen with your Ag Edge Weather.
Community info and calendar, church events, and local organizations that you belong to, love, and follow.
I'm Noah Booth for Something You Should Know.
Your athletes, your teams, all covered by names you trust.
Eddie Owen here.
Scott Brown.
And faces you know.
This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and yoursportsedge.com.
The info you need, the people you love. No fees, no hoops to jump through. All in one place. WPKYonline.com. When we say
classic hits,
we mean
American woman, stay away from me.
All I need is a miracle. All I need is you. At midnight, we're gonna lay it all down.
Listen to
WPKY worldwide at
WPKYonline.com. WPKY.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Again, we told you we've got Dave Winder from Murray State University coming up on the show this morning. Also, Justin Grooms, a Caldwell County grad, a member of the 1998 state championship football team at Caldwell County, and a member of the 2024 Hall of Fame class for the Caldwell County football program. He'll be joining us just a little bit later on. We're waiting on a call for Dave, so we're going to take another break. We'll be right back with more after this here on 1580, 103.3 WPKY.
Cadiz Trigg County Tourism invites you to visit Cadiz soon and often. We have great places to shop, eat, and enjoy. Find out more at gocadiz.com or on Facebook.
Hi, this is Jim Lancaster with H&R AgriPower. Keep your machines running strong and exclusive savings on genuine Case IH planter parts and service, maintenance solutions, select reman parts, and more. Get a 5% statement credit when you spend $1,000 or more on genuine Case IH lubricants using your Productivity Plus account. And take 15% off OEM and Fleet Guard filters that keep you in the field longer. Visit H&R AgriPower in Hopkinsville today to save on genuine Case IH parts and service.
You only turn 130 once. And Fredonia Valley Bank is pulling out all the stops. This remarkable journey is a testament to the community and the cherished customers, so they are shouting out a huge thank you. And what better way to show gratitude than with monthly giveaways? Stay in the loop for your chance to grab some amazing prizes. Stay tuned with us. Follow Fredonia Valley Bank on Facebook and Instagram, or pop into either location for a visit. Here's to winning and celebrating together.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Stay safe on the road while keeping your vehicle in top shape while enjoying a smoother, quieter ride. Ensure fuel efficiency by trusting the tire experts at Trice Hughes. Stocking leading brands like Michelin, Goodyear, Firestone, and Bridgestone ensures quality and longevity. Plus, enjoy no-cost tire rotations with every service appointment for the life of your tires. Discover the Trice Hughes difference in Princeton or find them at TriceHughesGM.com. At Trice Hughes, they're more than just tires.
Start your Sunday mornings with singing. It's the Sunday Singing starting at 6 on 1580, 103.3 online at WPKYonline.com and your free app. Hello, I'm Ken Cummins.
I am Eddie Boone.
We're your hosts along with these rotating churches: Eighty Creek Baptist, Cedar Bluff Baptist, Lebanon Baptist, Pleasant Hill Baptist, and on the fifth Sunday, the Caldwell Lion Baptist Association. It's the Sunday Singing every Sunday starting at 6 in the morning and repeated at noon on 1580, 103.3 WPKY.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Again, thanks for tuning in this morning. As promised, we've got Dave Winder from Murray State University with us this morning. Dave, good morning, and how was your trip to Chicago last night?
Well, we took off from the Chicago Executive Airport a little later than we thought we would because of a double overtime, just brutal defeat, Todd. The Racers battled as hard and played as tough as I've ever seen a group of guys play, and they just couldn't get over the hump and string together the last couple of plays that either A, could have won it at the end of regulation or at the end of the first overtime, and then, you know, by the time we got to the last 40 seconds of double overtime, you know, all their chances have been spent, and it just shows you how tough it is to win in this league. It's a number 10 conference in the country. Every team's got three or four guys who can play for anybody, and UIC is much improved. I mean, they just took Bradley, the first place team, down of the wire at home in the game before ours and lost by 1 point. So, you know, it's just a tough time right now when you go on the road and you get close to stealing a good road win and then losing a double overtime. It's actually the first season that the Racers have played two double overtime games in the same season in my records that date back to 1983. Prior to 83, I don't have any confirmation. I'm always kind of looking for that kind of thing.
Well, but, I know that that made for a late night for you guys, and we're glad you could get up and join us this morning on the show. And the Racers, I thought, had actually been playing really well since coming back from the Hawaii trip.
Yeah, we'd won three in a row, two back-to-back games in Iowa last week, where the Racers just played really, really good basketball. And, you know, when you're in a game like that, where one or two plays makes the difference, you can't come away just saying, man, we're playing terrible. They're not playing terrible. It's just they just didn't finish the game. But I tell you what, I don't know if you saw the end of regulation. That game should have never even gotten overtime, Todd. The UIC had the Racers done, and they made three steals in the last 18 seconds, scored on two of them, and we're down by three, or down by one, and they got another steal, and the ball was rolling towards the Murray State bench, and the Racers couldn't save it in bounds. If they had picked that up, they would have had about 7 seconds left to try to win the game. It would have been one of those Sports Center moments of an epic collapse by UIC. So then there's 6.5 seconds left, and the Racers foul. And UIC goes to the other end with, 3 seconds left. And they make both free throws, so now they're up by three. And then the Flames foul Terrence Harkham at midcourt, taking a half-court shot.
Oh, wow.
Three free throws with no time on the clock. And he makes all three to force overtime. So the game should have never even gotten to overtime, really. And so you could we'll be rehashing it all day. I know that, but I do know that first place Bradley's coming in Saturday, and they're playing really good right now. They absolutely rolled over Indiana State at home last night. At one point, they had them down by 55 points.
Oh, wow.
I can't recall the fight. You have to look it up there, Todd. It was 113 to 60-something. And so there's some good teams in this league, and I tell you, I'm enjoying the competition. It's just I want the Racers to do a little better and notch a few more wins. But, man, they're battling. It'd be a fun team to come and watch, I tell you that.
Well, let's go back to the Hawaii tournament for just a minute, because I don't think the outcomes of those games were as good as we had hoped for, but I think that was a good tournament or a good event for Murray State, because, like we said, the team came back and has played really well since those games.
Well, it was the first time the Racers had played in Hawaii. Well, only the second time ever, but the first time since 1998. And when one of those ESPN tournaments ask you to come and play, it's such a great opportunity because it's hard to get into those tournaments. And so the Racers go out there, and if you're paying attention to the college basketball, men's college basketball landscape, Nebraska is pretty good. They've notched some good wins since they got back from Hawaii. And of course, Fred Hoiberg is the head coach, who was the head coach at Iowa State before Steve Prohm took over for him when he left Murray State. And so it was really cool kind of seeing those two guys together. I got a picture of the two of them together at the NABC fundraiser. That's for the Coaches Versus Cancer effort. And so Nebraska, it was probably one of the strongest, biggest teams I've seen the Racers play in a while. And then even though Murray State 4 for 28 in the first half, just could not make a shot. They did come back in the second half and cut it to 9 at one point. And then the first double overtime that we talked about was against Charlotte in game 2. And the Racers had that game in the bag so many times, I don't even want to count them up. So that was a tough one because the Racers should have won it in regulation easily.
Yeah, that was the late game, because I remember watching that one, and I think it finished at what, about 2 o'clock maybe, or even later in the morning our time. Not for you guys in Hawaii, but it was a really late game here.
Yeah, because we didn't begin until 8:30 Hawaii time, so it was 12:30 a.m. Here in Central Time Zone.
Yeah, I guess it was 3 o'clock then when it finished.
Oh, yeah. I just wonder, did you stay up for all of it? Or?
I did. I watched that whole thing.
You're not the first person I've talked to that said, hey, I just could not go to sleep before that game was over. But then the Racers come back, and really, I think their best game of the year, best win of the year, is against Loyola. This is a team that went to the Final Four a few years ago. They were in the Missouri Valley, but then they left for the Atlantic 10, and Loyola was on their way out of the Valley when Murray State, Belmont, and UIC came in. So I think our victory over them kind of probably made some people across the Valley a little happy that it was a team that didn't want to stay in the Missouri Valley Conference. But that was a highly physical game. So if the Racers can handle a team like Loyola and win that, you know, they could win in this league. And like I said, the margin between winning and losing sometimes is just very it's a couple of missed free throws here. It's a rebound on a missed free throw you didn't get. It's a missed box out. And so the Racers, we got back about 1:30 this morning by the time we landed at Kyle Oakley Field here in Callaway County. And so then right back up at them this morning, and we'll get going. We've got Hall of Fame dinner Friday night, Todd, so it's going to be a big time.
We're talking this morning with Dave Winder from Murray State University, and you know, we talked some basketball, and looking ahead, you guys have been releasing some schedules over the last week or so for different sports, and one of those is football, so the 2025 football schedule is up.
Yeah, it'll be the 101st season for Murray State football, and they're going to open it up August 30th against an old OVC friend from way back, East Tennessee State in Johnson City, Tennessee. That'll be August 30th, and you can see the whole thing on GoRacers.com. The Racers have two guaranteed games. But for the first time in a while, we're not playing a Power 5 team. We're playing Jacksonville State, you know, who used to be in the OVC, but they're in Conference USA now. And then playing Georgia State down in Atlanta. And then the Missouri Valley football opener is October 4th at South Dakota. Homecoming is a little later this year. It's on November 1st. When Southern Illinois comes to Murray State. So, and it's an 11-game schedule this time around instead of 12. So it just depends on how the calendar comes out. But Jody Wright's into his second season, but really he's into his first recruiting class where he's had a full calendar year to work up to it. So we're looking forward to seeing what he is going to come up with as far as new racers. But we do know that just to throw a couple of names out there that we know are coming back. The Racers have some experience at running back as Juwan Northington will be back for his senior year. He's a guy from Louisville, really durable running back. And then Jordan Washington, who was a freshman that started the Missouri game, if you remember, and then suffered a season-ending injury. So he'll come back as a redshirt freshman. And we expect big things out of him, too.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to see the football schedule come out so early, but it's always fun to look through. And, you know, I'll admit, though, one game I missed from the old OVC days was Tennessee State, and that was always a big game because anytime Tennessee State came to town, they always brought their band with them.
Well, that kind of slowed down in several years you know, since the early 2000s. But there were times where they did bring their band to Murray State, and that was quite the show, for sure. But, hey, going back to basketball, Murray State's women's team, man, they're playing great. I don't know if you've noticed, but they just got the one loss. They're going up to Iowa this week. They play tonight. Drake's the number one team. They're 5-0. The Racers in Northern Iowa 4-1. So we've got the top three teams playing up in Iowa this week. So, Rochelle Turner, congratulations to her. She just became Murray State women's basketball all-time coaching leader in wins with that victory on Sunday over UIC. So just really happy for Rochelle. I remember when Alan Ward, our AD at the time, hired her from Murray High School, and you know, you just thought, well, how's this going to go? And here we are 8 years later, and she continues to run a great program. Hasn't won a championship yet, but her recruiting is really starting to she's recruiting at a higher level, and they're really growing into this league. So looking forward to the Racers up in Iowa. They haven't had success up there yet, so maybe this is the week they can.
Well, and we talked about the Missouri Valley Conference, and just how has have you guys kind of fit into that now? Because, like you said, we're approaching 3 years, third year next year. So does the Missouri Valley Conference now seem more like home for Murray State?
You know, it's amazing that you bring that up, because last night I was talking with my colleague from UIC, Chris Masters, and this was our second trip to Chicago. And I told him that now I've been – we're talking about men's basketball travels, right? I've been to all the arenas in the Missouri Valley twice now. And there's that familiarity that I'm beginning to get of this is where we usually stay. When we stay there, this is the route to the arena. I know where the team bus is going to pull to and where we're going to enter the arena. I know where to tell my media that's there, where to enter, where to park, all that stuff. So I know much more, because that first year I was like, wow, every week was a new thing. And you know, when you are kind of searching for where does the bus park, it's a little hard to keep your eye on the other things that need to be handled. But so yeah, I feel like it's home. I think our teams felt like that after the first year was over, honestly. And you look at some of the successes we've had, women's basketball, you know, I said, you know, second place, our Murray State women's track and field team, they've finished second four times. So they've had two runs at the Missouri Valley Indoor and Outdoor Championship, and they've finished second four times. And Murray State is sending, not only sending athletes now to the NCAA regionals, now we're getting people in the NCAA finals. We had Shelby Melvin, the 400 meter hurdler, do so well last year. Murray State tennis won our first Missouri Valley championship last spring. The poll came out for this spring, and they're picked number one by the coaches. So George Cataino's got a chance to win another one. Murray State baseball was one of the strongest offensive teams a year ago last spring, and set the Murray State single-season home run record, and they finished second. And you see softball and volleyball and soccer, none of them are to where they can't compete. They're all kind of middle of the pack. So that's what we were kind of looking for when we came in the league. We wanted to enter with our teams kind of, you know, got some moxie to compete right off. And then others have to grow into it too. And of course, we're growing our coaching staffs too. Take baseball, for example. When we got into the league, Murray State only had two full-time coaches, the head coach and an assistant. Everybody else in the league had a head coach and three full-time assistants. And now we've matched that to what our peers in the league had. So hats off to our AD, Nick Oyanko, because that's the first thing he did. He's trying to get all the teams, not only budget-wise, but staff-wise, so that they can compete on a level field with everybody else in the league.
Yeah, and you know, by the time we talk again next month, spring sports are going to be underway. We'll have baseball and softball to talk about.
Yeah, we just released the softball schedule, and I think we're waiting on just one or two game contracts for baseball, and we'll be getting that out as well. And then this weekend, Todd, is a Hall of Fame weekend at Murray State. And we'll be inducting the 42nd class to the Murray State Hall Friday night at a dinner. And then that group will be honored on the court Saturday during the Bradley game. of course, we already put Ja Morant in last summer when he could absolutely attend. It'd be hard for him to attend this time of year. And by the way, he's tearing it up. I don't know. All you got to do is look at the Grizzlies' Twitter. I mean, it's just Ja Morant every day, and the Grizzlies have got a good team. But the Hall of Fame class, Quincy Williams with the New York Jets, Jack Wolf, who is one of the greatest horse racing executives, who played football at Murray State, Coach Velvet Milkman, Murray State women's golf, 11 championships in a 29-year career, Becca Lamb for Murray State volleyball, Daniel Calhoun, Murray State baseball, probably the last greatest pitcher that Murray State ever had as he made it to Double A with the Cardinals. Then Maya Watford, she's the youngest of the class, finished up in 2019, Murray State soccer, third all-time leading scorer. So it's a class of six we've got coming in, and we're going to honor them Friday night. It'll be a lot of fun.
We've been talking with Dave Winder from Murray State University. Dave, appreciate you coming on the show as always. And just one more thing, got to get our St. Louis Cardinals in there. And I think I've kind of turned a corner being a new year. I'm starting to get a little more positive about this Cardinals coming up season. If we can have some guys come back healthy and maybe some of the young guys step up, I feel like maybe we can compete a little bit. Not going to go out and say we're going to win the World Series, but I'm starting to get a little more positive about the upcoming season.
Well, they're going to give the young guys a chance, and we shall see. It's been a while since the Cardinals probably have fielded a team as young as the one they're getting ready to just talk about the position players. I still don't know about the Wilson Contreras playing first base idea. And then the Cardinals are still shopping Nolan Arenado to see if possibly they could trade him and, further push the youth movement in the organization. The only thing is with Arenado, I think the Cardinals owe him $64 million. They're asking whoever takes Arenado to pay either most or all of it. So I don't know how that's going to work, but we shall see. Spring training usually is about Valentine's Day, so it won't be long.
Yeah, we're getting there. Dave, as always, appreciate you coming on. I know you had a long trip back from Chicago last night, and appreciate you getting up and spending some time with us this morning.
It's always fun, Todd. You take care, and everybody have a great day.
All right, thanks, Dave. That's Dave Winder from Murray State University. Appreciate him coming on and talking Racer Athletics with us this morning on the Sideline Report. Stay with us. We'll have more after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
The Joshua Tree Boutique, East Court Square in historic downtown Princeton. A boutique filled with ladies' clothing with an emphasis on color and unique style. Beautiful jewelry, too. Follow on Facebook.
At Trilogy Performance Sports, they believe in only the highest standards of physical fitness training. Their staff members are actively enriching the lives of their members and creating a community of like-minded people. And getting you in shape is their number one goal. They have everything you need, knowledge, experience, and equipment. They find out what's important to you and design a customized plan that fits your needs. Learn more at TrilogyPerformanceSports.com.
Is there anything we can do for you? Johnson's Furniture and Appliances in Marion, Kentucky wants to help. At Johnson's, we get excited when you walk in the door or call for assistance. We look forward to solving your problems and lending a hand. We carry most major appliances, including GE washers, GE dryers, and GE refrigerators. We also carry parts and offer service. Johnson's in Marion, Kentucky wants to be your appliance store and service center. Let Johnson's Furniture and Appliances in Marion lend a hand. Stop in or shop online.
I'm Stephanie, manager of Purcell Tire. We offer a wide variety of options to keep your vehicle running smooth. We are now offering our car care package that includes oil and filter change, tire rotation and tread depth check, brakes, battery, belts, and hoses check. Call us today at 270-365-7291. Come see us at 309 U.S. Highway 62 West in Princeton or visit us online at PurcellTire.com.
Learn about your heart health with a simple scan. The Cardiology Clinic at Caldwell Medical Center features a highly trained team of heart health specialists and years of experience in cardiac health and wellness. Our specialists provide a wide range of cardiac-specific services, offering coronary artery calcium testing, stress test, echocardiograms, sleep studies, and more, all right here close to home. To schedule an appointment, visit CaldwellMedical.com.
Nominate your favorite business now at bestofwesternkentucky.com as we celebrate a decade of winners in the best of Western Kentucky.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Again, thanks for tuning in this morning. I appreciate Dave Winder from Murray State University for joining us on the show today. Changing subjects now, we're going to talk a little high school football and maybe some other things. Joining us on the show, Kaawah County Football Hall of Famer Justin Grooms, a member of the 1998 state championship team at Caldwell County. Justin, good morning. Thanks for getting up early and being with us this morning.
Good morning, Todd. You got me up early. It's my first cup of coffee. It's a little bit early on the West Coast here, but thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Hey, I was going to ask if you were one of those early riser types.
You know, I try to be. Every day is not the same, but I try to get up pretty early. I like to start early and, get everything out of the way as much as I can.
Well, tell us where you are and what are you doing these days?
Yeah, well, I'm in the crazy city of Los Angeles. And as you probably know, it's been a wild ride the last week or so. So I'm just about 7 miles from the Palisades Fire and about 3.5 miles from another one. So it's been a bit touch and go for me out here.
Do you guys feel pretty good, though, that you're in a pretty good spot?
Yeah, you know, I think so. The winds are still pretty high, but they've gotten it under control. I think the biggest thing is that we're not going to be caught off guard anymore. So the firefighters have done an incredible job. I can't say enough about what they've done and how the city's kind of stepped up and taken care of each other. So it's kind of a silver lining in all of it. It's hard to say that, but you know, just to see how people have stepped up and really put forth an effort to save their neighbor and do some things that they probably otherwise wouldn't do. So thank God we're in a good space right now, I think, and it's just going to be about rebuilding now.
Have the fires really had an impact on you in any way?
You know, outside of a lot of smoke, not really. They contained it pretty well, so I haven't really had any damage outside of that, but we were going to evacuate, I think, Thursday night and decided to stay around just because they seemed like they were getting it under control. And we ended up not having to evacuate. So thank God we're okay.
Yeah, it was kind of scary watching all that on TV for the last week or so. And, we hope they're starting to kind of get some of that under control.
Yeah, and the news news can kind of get you in a place where you're not so sure about what's happening. So it was good to have some people on the ground and really be able to talk to some people who were doing it and can tell you what was going on firsthand. So I wasn't really getting secondhand information. I knew some people who were really on the front line. So it was good for me to be able to get that information pretty quickly.
Well, we hope you stay safe out there and that everything works out for you guys.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's good to hear a familiar voice and kind of get my mind off what's going on out here.
Well, I do want to congratulate you on being inducted into the Caldwell County Football Hall of Fame, and it was great that you could be here for the Hall of Fame game last October.
Yeah, you know, I was telling someone the other day, when you're playing those games, when I was back in high school playing, we had those induction ceremonies, and, you know, you don't pay a whole lot of attention to that when you're active and playing, but when you get so far removed from the game and you start to miss it, you start to miss seeing people that you played with, it's really good to get back and kind of catch up and reminisce about what you did. You know, when you said 1998, it seemed so crazy to me that it's been that long ago. It literally seems like yesterday. And the moment I talk to those guys, whether it's, seeing Evans Wells and Jim Hayes and seeing a lot of those guys, it just kind of brings you right back to where you were in that space, which was, what has it been, almost 27 years ago now?
Yeah, that's hard to fathom.
Yeah, it's crazy to say that.
Because even I remember everything about that championship game against Danville like it was yesterday. And like you said, we're working on 27 years now.
Yeah, you know, something I wanted to apologize. I think I've apologized to you before about this. I don't even know if you remember it. But the Bullet East game, I had just come out of the game. I was on the sideline getting some water. I think I just gotten subbed out for Gerald. And the next play was a halfback pass. Gerald threw a pass to Stewart in the end zone. And I was getting water. That pass went up. And I just took off running down the sideline. And you were the first person. I ran into you. I think you dropped your camera. I remember apologizing to you. But
I remember that.
I just want to apologize to you again.
Yeah, I remember that. I think I broke my monopod when that happened. The camera was fine.
Yeah, I hit you pretty hard.
Yeah, the camera was fine, which was great.
It was probably the hardest hit I put down all game.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, I got back up, though. So, you know.
You got back up.
One of the first games I covered for the newspaper was out at Tiger Stadium, and I had my little camera standing there at midfield, and you know, the play was coming toward me, but I thought, well, everybody will step aside, or all these football players standing around me will grab everybody. No, they didn't. Gerald Fuqua hit me straight on. I went straight back, hit the bench, fell over backward, and the next thing I knew, I was looking up at the stars. So
you had some skin in the game.
Yeah, so, you know, you have to be careful on the football sideline, but it's a lot
That's
of fun
right.
being down there. The main thing I remember about that Bullet East game is that a lot of people had picked Bullet East to win that game, and I think by the end of the first quarter, we were up 21-0.
Yeah, the biggest thing I remember about that game was how many people we brought to that game. I mean, I think it was 5 or 6 pep buses that came to that game. So it almost felt like a home game for us.
Yeah, I think we actually had more people there than the home team did.
We did.
So, yeah, that was fun. Now when you come back to Tiger Stadium, has it changed much for you? Because, you know, Tiger Stadium's always been one of my favorite places, and it has changed over the years, but when I go back, it's always still just the same old place.
Yeah, I was, you know, I haven't been able to get back to too many games, but I have noticed there's not as much attendance at the games as there used to be. And maybe that ebbs and flows with the seasons, you know, depending on who's playing and how many people have their kids playing. But it's not quite as raucous as I remember it. But again, I think when you're in it, it seems different than when you get removed from it. But it is a little different. The feel that you get when you pull up to the stadium is not quite the same as it used to be. So I hope they get back to the place where it was, because, you know, as you know, the city was all about high school football and for a long time. And it's good to have that sense of community kind of galvanize around the team. And you know, when the season starts, you know, the city shuts down on Friday night and that's all that's going on. So hopefully it gets back there. Maybe it is. I just haven't been back enough to kind of experience it. But every time I go back, I get a little bit of disappointment in how kind of the crowd has diminished a little bit.
I think sometimes it just depends on the outlook for the season. I think if there's high hopes to go deep in the playoffs, more people show up. And honestly, anymore, you're fighting a lot of things. There's football games on TV on Friday night now. College teams play on Friday night. So there's just a lot of things kind of pulling people in different directions, it seems like.
Yeah. You know, I will say this, though. Even if you don't have expectations for the season, you know, the team to be as good as you want them to be, I think a lot of that, especially if you've got young players, when they show up to the stadium, they feel that support. We played above our head most of the time. You know, we weren't the biggest, we weren't the fastest. You know, we just had a lot of support. You know, we kind of leaned on each other. We leaned on the community. And I think even if you've got a team that you don't think is going to do good, if you show up and support the team, they'll probably play a little better than what you expect them to play.
Well, no doubt when the team comes out of the locker room, when they see a big crowd on that hillside, it does make a big difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wish they'd get back to letting them come out of the – you know, we had our locker room was at the top of that hill. And there was something about coming down that hill that that just felt different, you know. So I don't know if they'll ever get back to that, but that was that's always something I remember, kind of walking down that hill with the team and just seeing the look on the other team's face. We come down in all yellow, all gold, and it was a different kind of feel than just coming straight out to the field.
Yeah, because you guys didn't have the field house yet. We didn't build that until after you guys won the state championship.
That's right, the very next year.
Now, going back to 1998, going into the season and even going into the playoffs, how confident were you guys that you could make a deep playoff run that season?
You know, I don't know that we – obviously we talked about winning. I don't know that we talked a lot about the state championship. I think we knew we had something special. You know, those 11 guys that we had on that team that were seniors, we'd been playing together since we were 6-7 years old. We knew that we trusted one another, and we had a couple of guys who were extremely special. And I think we knew we could do some things. I don't know how, if we ever considered really winning state until we got going. And then we thought we had something that we could kind of build on. That the year before that I broke my ankle the year before, but we thought that if we'd got past Owensboro Catholic, we had a shot at state that year before. And I really wanted it for those seniors, like Bradley Stallings, Derek Perkins, those people, those guys who were on that. In that senior class, we really wanted it for them, Aaron Darden. But it just didn't work out. And it was frustrating for me because I couldn't get on the field. You know, I thought I was going to be able to get back by that Owensboro Catholic game. So we thought we had a shot the year before. And so we knew coming into our senior season that we had a good team. We had some stuff that we could build on. So we were extremely confident. But I don't know the state championship talks really started until probably, you know, 5 or 6 games into the season.
Well, you played linebacker and some running back. Did you really have a preference, or did you just want to be out there on the field?
I just wanted to be on the field. You know, I played every special teams they let me on. I played a little bit of flanker, played some fullback. I just wanted to really be on the field. I think for me, kind of being in charge of the defense, you know, me and Jason Fawn really called a lot of the plays on defense. So I like defense when you're 16, 17 years old, you want to hit somebody. You know, a lot of anger and frustration that we had, we want to take out. So it was fun. I think, you know, again, for me, just being on the field was an absolute pleasure. At one point, you know, I thought about quitting football. I didn't really want to play anymore. I think early on in my high school career, I didn't want to play, but I was also, you know, 5'5", a buck 35. So it took a while for me to kind of grow into my body, but yeah, being on the field was something special. I never wanted to come off the field. I can't really understand players now who want to come off the field. I wanted to play every snap, every special teams. So it didn't really matter to me where they put me.
We're talking this morning with Justin Grooms, former Caldwell County Tiger player, member of the Caldwell County Football Hall of Fame, and like we said, was a member of the 1998 state championship team at Caldwell County. And Justin, one thing that always kind of struck me about that 1998 team, there was that large senior class, and you guys were really close-knit, which I thought was really fun, but you guys were always such nice guys, and I always wondered how you had so much success in football being a bunch of nice guys.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. I think we were able to channel anything that was going on in our lives, we were able to channel that on the football field, and I think you can play with a joy and an energy about the game that doesn't have to be angry, right? It doesn't have to be violent. It doesn't have to be, you know, when you get between the lines, you kind of hit the switch and you flip something on that you don't have, you can't have it on all the time. Like, you just can't walk around with that kind of attitude all the time. So for us, I think we were blessed because we had that outlet. Like, we had an outlet to really, you know, get out there and kind of let that energy out and play free and play loose. And, you know, we really didn't need to. A lot of times you can see guys off the field, they have this persona about them. It's not real. It's not reality. They're kind of forcing it. So yeah, I think for us, we were just able to play free and, you know, we relied a lot on our camaraderie and leaning on each other. Like I said, we weren't the fastest. We weren't the biggest for sure. You know, but we had that team commitment, I think, that got us a long way.
Now, did you have any opportunities to play college football, or at that point were you just ready to go to college and be a student?
I did. I had a few opportunities, you know, to go and play, but I think at that point I convinced myself, Ty, that I was burned out on football. And it wouldn't be – I haven't told this story a lot, but it wouldn't be probably until years later that I realized it wasn't really that I was burned out on football. What it was for me is that I was really – trying to prove to people and myself that I didn't have to use football to get to college and to get a higher education, that I could lean on my brains and my academic accomplishments. And so I think it was really trying to prove to myself that I didn't need football. And I didn't come to that conclusion probably until 10 years later. So it was a little bit of both. I think, you know, I had a good run. Basketball was really my love. I would have loved to go play basketball. but I was getting recruited by some junior colleges and some smaller schools. I was a 6 foot shooting guard, so 5'11 at the time. So it's hard to play basketball at the next level when you're 5'11, 6 feet tall. But for football, it was a little bit of both. I was kind of burned out, but I also really wanted to prove to myself and, you know, to other people that I could really go and pursue an academic scholarship and go to school on that.
Now, the million-dollar question is, how do you go from Princeton, Kentucky, to living in Los Angeles? And it looks like you're a busy guy these days.
Oh, yeah. Well, we don't I don't know if we have enough radio time for that story, but I'll give you kind of the Cliff Notes version. I always wanted to get out and explore and see some other places. I think it was a pivotal moment in my life when my mother, when I was about 10 years old, sent me to Phoenix for the summer to spend the summer with my uncle. And that kind of changed my perspective on possibility. You know, I just saw kids that didn't look like me, didn't speak like me, and it made me interested in kind of stepping outside of my city and seeing some other things. And so after I finished graduate school, moved to Orlando and stayed in Orlando for a little while and then was in Miami every now and then, and decided that I was, you know, kind of wanted to see other places in the country and other cities. Now, I did go back to Kentucky for about 6 months and lived in Lexington for 6 months working for Liberty Mutual. Then they offered me a promotion, moved me to Atlanta, and Atlanta kind of opened up my eyes to a bunch of different things. And during the time I was in Atlanta, I had some opportunity to travel to L.A. and kind of visit it for a while. And I knew that at some point I'd get back to L.A. I was in L.A. for a year in 2010, just not mentally ready, not financially ready for the city. But I knew at some point I'd get back. And so I started working my way to making that happen. In 2018, I moved back and started a business, and you know, the rest is kind of history. But yeah, I'm pretty busy right now. Can't complain. I can always be busier, I think. But for me, it's been a good ride for the last 6 years or so.
Well, one of these days we're going to get you back and we're going to talk about some other things, because I know you've written a book. I know you have a podcast, all those kind of things. So like I said, it looks like you're a busy guy, and that's always a good thing.
Yeah, it's always good, and blessed to do what you know, what I feel like I'm gifted to do in a lot of areas. So, you know, it's nothing but the grace of God, honestly. There's a lot of people that, you know, haven't had the opportunities, or, you know, haven't been able to take advantage of the opportunities. So I don't discount the blessings that I've had in my life. There's been some difficult times, obviously, a lot of those. But, you know, it's built my character and given me some perspective on life. And but I'm definitely blessed, Todd. Definitely blessed.
Well, I'm glad you could join us this morning. Get up early and join us. And I know you got to go, but like I said, we'll have you back sometime and talk some more. You guys all stay safe out there in L.A.
Thank you, sir. It's been good.
Thanks, Justin. Justin Grooms, former Caldwell County Tiger, like I said, a member of the 1998 state championship squad, and joined the Caldwell County Football Hall of Fame 2024. That ceremony was last October during the football season. Don't forget, we've got Caldwell County basketball coming up Friday night for you here on WPKY. The Tigers and Lady Tigers back in action on Friday. Hopkins County Central will be at the Community Activities Building, and we'll have that doubleheader for you. Girls at 6, boys to follow. Tigers and Lady Tigers back in action on Friday night. Back with more on the Sideline Report right after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Stay safe on the road while keeping your vehicle in top shape while enjoying a smoother, quieter ride. Ensure fuel efficiency by trusting the tire experts at Trice Hughes. Stocking leading brands like Michelin, Goodyear, Firestone, and Bridgestone ensures quality and longevity. Plus, enjoy no-cost tire rotations with every service appointment for the life of your tires. Discover the Trice Hughes difference in Princeton or find them at TriceHughesGM.com. At Trice Hughes, they're more than just tires. Powering your lives and lighting up your nights. Princeton Electric Plant Board's community spirit shines bright. Entrusted with the glow of our fields, they keep our Tigers' pathways illuminated to victory. A shout out goes to our Tigers as they roar into a new season. Good luck, Tigers. Here's to a safe and victorious year from your one and only Princeton Electric Plant Board. They're not just a service, they're community.
I'm Jeff McDaniels, financial advisor with InvestFB. My favorite part of what we do is helping clients realize that doing small things consistently can add up to bigger successes down the road.
Success on the basketball court is a lot like that. If you do enough little things right, your chances of winning improve.
Travis, I could not have said that better. Having a great team around you can't hurt either.
Yes, sir. Everyone needs someone to hold the ladder when cutting down the net.
This is a paid testimonial. The provider has received or will receive compensation paid by the Farmers Bank and Trust Company. The individual providing this testimonial is a current client of InvestFB Wealth Management and does not have additional conflicts of interest. The testimonial may not be representative of the experience of other customers, and the testimonial is no guarantee of future performance or success.
You look amazing. What's your secret?
Oh, girl, I've been taking the shot, the semi-glutide weight loss shot.
Isn't that super expensive and hard to get?
No, girl. I get mine at Princeton Drugstore. My starting dose was less than $50 a week, and I lost 20 pounds my first month. And if you don't have a prescription, you can talk to their telehealth physician.
Wow, that sounds great. I totally need to give them a call.
Princeton Drugstore. Your journey to feeling and looking fabulous starts here. Contact them today.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Again, thanks for tuning in this morning. I appreciate Dave Winder joining us from Murray State University today, and also Justin Grooms, Caldwell County High School grad, member of the 1998 state championship team, and one of the newest members of the Caldwell County Football Hall of Fame, for spending some time with us here on the Sideline Report this morning. That's going to wrap us up for this edition of the Sideline Report. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and YourSportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for being with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.